Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I am J.L. Covan, and I'm here, as always, with Producer Mike. Hello, Producer Mike.
Hi, J.L. How you doing? It's nice to see you.
It's great to see you, Mike. I'm doing well, and today's a special episode because we're going to have a guest.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm going to
That's all you wanted to say?
Yeah, I'm going to keep people in suspense.
Okay.
No, he's my co-star from Dictator for a Day. Yeah. The Trump algorithm. The show I did about Trump.
Right.
That's right. Our possible future president, Donald J. Trump. Rory Scholl, as in doctor. He's the scion of the Scholl, Dr. Scholl's fortune.
Is that true?
No. And nobody's here, Mike. Wow. Wow, be a professional. Our guest is technically not here. Okay.
You of all people to tell me.
Yeah.
To be a professional. Okay. All right, Jay.
But yeah, it's we'll get to that. It's gonna be a fun episode. It's gonna be a very different episode.
Yes.
But it's gonna be very fun. It's gonna go down as like the oral history of Dictator for a Day.
I love that.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. And oh, I'm sorry, they all just turned off the podcast. Okay. Politics, Trump. Tim Walz, Kamala Harris, Tim Walz. I went to the Rangers Hobo opener this Saturday. Predictably, they lost in overtime.
Because you were there?
Because I was there.
You brought the jinx?
I think I did. They lost 6-5. Shesterkin pitched a shutout the first game and then gave up 6 goals in the second game.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was very fun to be there, though. We got the opening season t-shirt. Like, they're all on the... And it was just... It was a lot of fun because I have a season plan. Not full season, but a plan, ticket plan. I get 15% off for merch and 20% off food and beverage. I assume jerseys would be exempt from that because it says select merch. No, 15% off jerseys too.
Not at a hockey game. At a hockey game, the discount goes everywhere.
But you know what I mean? I thought jerseys would just be that thing where it's like, no, not on jerseys.
I know.
It was pretty awesome. So I had to decide between Keandre Miller, pros, half black, tall.
Yep.
Number 79, the year I was born.
Yep.
Young, up-and-coming player. Mm-hmm. So that was leaning in his favor. And the other one I was choosing between was Chris Kreider. Long-tenured Ranger. So that's has value. It has staying power. Even if he were to retire or leave, you'd be like, well, Kreider played 13 or 15 seasons with the team. Third leading goal scorer in franchise history. Mm-hmm. Had a hat trick in the third period last year during a playoff game to win a playoff game and send them on to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I was deciding between the two, and we went at the third period. And what helped sway me was Keandre Miller did have a goal that he like bounced off the wall. It was the craziest goal. He like cleared the puck, but it bounced off the wall and into the goal. Like the goalie went behind the goal to get it, and it took a ricochet and just went in the goal. But he also made very costly penalties, and I would say was like a -2 in terms of like literally causing goals versus scoring them. So I said, yeah, I can't do it, Keandre. And you're a free agent to have this year, so what if you don't resign?
Right.
You're not enough where like
it's
the
a
Miller
risk.
Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of people walking around with jerseys where you're like, they're so expensive that it's like, oh, you really were bought into that 2-year period of Rick Nash.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mark Stahl.
Yeah. So yeah. I didn't want to. So I went with Kreider. And of course, he didn't score. You know, they scored 5 goals. He wasn't one of them. So the jinx is already taking place. And then Laura had to choose. And she was really dissuaded from Mika Zibanejad from all the negative press last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like his lack of 5-on-5 goal scoring and just his general softness in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So she went with Vincent Trocheck. But she saved some money because she went with a youth jersey.
Nice. Smart move.
Because she's not a full-size person.
That's a savvy play.
Yeah, it is. I would love it if the store was just like, excuse me, you can't order from the kids menu.
Yeah.
You've got to get a $280 jersey, not a $155 jersey.
Yeah.
Yes, people, that's how expensive they are. They're super expensive. It's insane.
Yeah.
But they lost, so that stunk. But I was very happy. I feel like I'm part of the Rangers family now. Like you feel like you kind of walk in and own a little bit of the place when you're like, I got a quarter season plan.
Yeah. And a jersey. And
yeah.
You're a part of the NYPD now.
Yeah. No, I took it in the rear from an FDNY guy after the game. That's like a rite of passage. It's like the Rangers freak off.
Yeah.
is you have to pick NYPD in the mouth or FDNY in the ass, and then you're officially in.
Yeah.
So I had my Bieber moment with a fire captain.
Yeah.
But actually, an MSG employee did tap me while we were doing our walk around and said, "Hey, big fan."
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, "Hell yeah,
that's cool."
And then as I was leaving, he's like, "That guy's impression's unbelievable."
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, "Not at my show."
Yeah.
Friday, were you? No. And I know you didn't have a game here. So, yeah, I had a great show on Friday at the Triad Theater. It was stellar. So, once again, the career is going well. And just let me just inform everybody of the things they hate the most.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Public service announcement. I have shows coming up. I know. I don't want to do them either. But Pittsburgh, Thursday. Ticket sales are egregiously bad. So tell a friend, buy a friend a ticket, donate, whatever you can. Send canned goods, whatever you think I need for that show in Pittsburgh. But it's Pittsburgh, 8 p.m. I sent a ticket link to a fan today, and he responded, "Where's the show in Pittsburgh?" And I said, "Don't worry about it." Since I literally gave you all the information, I don't know what I can do more than what I just did, other than like walk you to the venue. So sorry about that. And then Chicago Friday, Making Podcast Great Again live show. And then me, not as Trump, but you'll still hear some impressions, doing stand-up headlining on Saturday. So yeah, everybody, you know, get tickets, or, you know, at least send a mass card for, you know, the death of my comedy career, whichever way you choose to celebrate.
Talk about dramatic. My good Lord.
Oh, no. Today I really had a come to Satan moment with Laura.
Oh, yeah.
I just said to her, I said, when I looked at the ticket sales numbers, I said, I don't think I can in good conscience do this anymore, because it becomes a thing where it's like, I don't think it's not going to happen. I had my bump. Somehow I pulled off a real miracle. I think I have better odds of winning the Powerball than getting 200,000 fans who don't like stand-up comedy or me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things where you're like, to thread that needle, Mike,
yeah,
of like, I love your stuff, I just don't ever want to get any of it or go to see any of it. How do you collect hundreds of thousands of those people?
Some guys get all the luck.
Yeah. This, you know, we'll probably have a funeral mass. That'll be a new kind of a episode.
Yeah.
I might even bring in like my parish priest.
That'd be the end of the show.
To do an exorcism on my career. Yeah, my comedy career funeral. I'll bring in the ghost of Patrice O'Neill, the only headliner who ever asked me to open for him.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun. So everybody, thank you. Or a floral arrangements, or donations to me, I think, would be an appropriate way to honor, you know, the career. That's what my comedy career would want.
Financial donations, you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, don't plant a tree.
No.
My comedy career's last wish was, in lieu of flowers, donate to JL's Venmo or buy his albums.
Yeah.
And the remaining five people just turned off. They're like, oh, he said the A word. So that's that. I think we can probably get, and Mike, did you celebrate Columbus Day today?
You know, JL, I am very, I have mixed feelings about Columbus Day. I do think,
because you're only part Italian.
No, I think that Italians do deserve a day. I think that a lot of the other, you know, major contributing ethnic groups that helped build this country get their day. And I do think our day has sort of been co-opted because the guy that we are celebrating is a bad guy historically. And now the fact that we have to split it with Indigenous Peoples Day, I think we just should get a different day.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Isn't that fair? I mean,
I feel like Italians,
they can have a day too, but
I feel like Italians, it's almost they're extra mad because it's like, I mean, if we had to share the day, you know, with somebody else. But
well,
why?
It's like there's that great Sopranos episode where Silvio goes to the Mohegan Sun to break up Native American protests.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I always thought that was a bit of a bridge too far because, again, you know, the more as time goes by, the more history we have, and we sort of revise the history of Columbus
of him being, you know, not a great guy. I don't really want to celebrate Chris Columbus, but I would like to have a day where I can.
Home Alone was a good movie, though.
The director, Chris Columbus. Mm-hmm. I got you. Okay.
Thank you. Anywho, well, I'm going to go. I think that's probably all we have to talk about Columbus. I'm going to step out and get our guest. I think he's downstairs.
Okay.
And not sitting next to you.
Yes.
That was a good misdirection early in the episode. I'm going to go get the guest. Why don't you, whatever you're going to do to kill time before I get the guest.
Yeah. Well, we have, I think we have two guests today, actually, because there's one. He's actually walking through the door right now. Oh, no!
What's up, Mikey?
It's Vinny's music.
Yeah, it's almost like a WWF. I don't call WWE.
Here he comes through the door. It's Vinny the Guinea. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He's got a baston bright in his pants. I wanted to be here today. I saw the Fanuc podcast guy walking out of here.
Right.
Columbus Day, Mike. I hope I'm not wrong, that you are celebrating Columbus Day and not Indigo Girls Day.
Well, I was telling JL, I have a bit of mixed emotions about this, Vinny, because we know Columbus did some bad stuff, but it is our day to celebrate. So, I mean, what do you do?
Columbus was in like 1222 or whatever, like a long time ago, right?
Yeah, 1492.
He was like a regular guy then.
Yeah.
You know, if I told you some of the shit my grandfather did, you'd be like, well, we shouldn't celebrate him neither.
Well, maybe we should.
1950s.
Right.
So a guy does something in the 1380s, who the fuck?
1400s.
Like, what, you know, for, does it matter? Was it 1372 so different from 1511? I don't know. But I was in my gym today. You know, you got to get, that's our day.
You need a pump.
And I don't care how cold it is or windy. I'm going out in a fucking wife beater.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, it's called Italian Pride.
Right.
And I'm in my gym. And fortunately, somebody in my building had put on the Columbus Day Parade, and I'm watching it. Mm-hmm. And I love the Italian women. Don't you love the Italian women?
I certainly do, yeah.
And one of our great, maybe our greatest Italian, living Italian, obviously, Frank Sinatra and such.
Right.
Was doing, you know who that is?
Was it Rosanna Scotto?
No, it's Joe Piscopo.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love Joe Piscopo.
Yeah, he is one of the greats, isn't he?
Made Eddie Murphy who he is, and nobody gives him credit. Eddie Murphy, you know what Eddie Murphy be doing? He'd be shining, and don't say it's racial, he'd be shining my shoes right now if it wasn't for Joe Piscopo opening doors.
But you're wearing New Balance, Vinny.
Who's wearing New Balance?
You are.
You got evidence of that?
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm looking at your shoes right now. Those don't get shined.
You got reading problems, brother. So these are Bruno Magli sneakers.
Oh, is that right?
Okay.
OJ's favorite shoes.
Well, you know, he did what he's, you know, that's what his people do. He can be a good one, but eventually the bag comes through. But, you know, enough talking about other people. This is our day, and I'm tired of them trying to get rid of our day.
Yeah.
The Irish get to, you know, at the gays for a day in front of St. Patrick's.
Right. The gays get to yell at everybody for a month.
They get a whole month.
Right.
They're trying to take our day.
Yeah. It's not fair.
To disbar Rudy Giuliani this year and then tell me it's Indigo Girls Day instead of, Columbus Day. But I think we could probably come to an arrangement. What if we made it, you do like a different Italian?
That's what I think they should do.
John Gotti Day.
No. I think we should do a Frank Sinatra Day. He's probably the most influential Italian American outside of the people in politics that nobody cares about. Don't you think?
Sinatra. What was Lincoln? Was he Italian?
No.
What about the guy whose dick knocked over the pole in the Olympics?
He's French.
His name was like Fizzioni.
Yeah.
Like I think his pops was piping some French chicks on a vacation.
But Frank is from Hoboken.
That's not a French guy.
Frank was from your neck of the woods.
You know, Hoboken. You've been to Hoboken recently?
Yes.
Yeah, it's, it doesn't feel, it feels like a borough of Manhattan now.
Yeah. But, some say that.
All right. Well, anyway, I just wanted to come in and celebrate Columbus Day properly.
Yeah.
As they're trying to,
They hate us.
Yeah, they do.
Because they ain't us. And that's why I'm supporting Trump.
Yeah.
Because you know Columbus Day isn't going anywhere with Trump.
Right.
And you notice a lot of these people going to work today, you know, to protest. Oh, no. No, they're not. Because
Hippodrome?
No, the crits.
Oh, yeah. The hypocrite.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, why don't we go to work then? You know, I'm staying off because it's Dances with Wolves Day.
Right.
Right. No, it's Columbus Day, and it's always going to be Columbus Day. And
you're making a lot of sense today, Vin.
Well, I did a book report.
Yeah.
On Columbus in fifth grade, and I that was before I dropped out, so that's like kind of the last kind of like academic achievement.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got to go.
What about Joe DiMaggio Day?
I think Sinatra's got to outrank DiMaggio. Yeah? What about Rocky Marciano? Or we just come up with like the great, like call it the Great Italian Day or something. And we just, you know, everybody gets afloat.
Okay.
You know, so I don't know. But
it's a thought.
But Columbus, you know, I think any of us today, if we were around in 1374, we might be doing some, you know, murder and.
Yeah. Genocide.
You know, and a little bit of the sexual stuff too. Yeah. I think we like judge too hard from today. But you know, when you take a boat across an earth that people think is flat, you're gonna want to celebrate when you get to the new country. Okay, and how do we celebrate usually? With some alcohol and some fucking
some broads.
Maybe some fights, maybe some stuff gets out of hand and 10 or 20,000 people die. But all of a sudden today we're very, no. This year. What about when they burned down a CVS in Minnesota, Mike? What about that? That's okay, right? But we want to judge Christopher Columbus for what he did 9,000 years ago. We know it's prejudice against Italians, so whatever. I got to get out of here. We have a party at my nonna's house every Columbus Day.
Yeah.
So we have cakes, the Nina, the Pinto, and the Santa Marina.
Sounds good.
Yeah, no, so it's very nice. So we're gonna do that, and then me and my side chick do a little role play.
Nice.
There's a family show though, right? So we don't have to get there. Anyway, I got to get out of here. You can do I think the giant Fanuc is coming back.
Yeah, well, I think JL will be back momentarily. We'll take a break right now. We're going to come back. And we have a very special guest to join myself and JL. Stick around. We'll be right back.
And we're back. Mike, what the hell happened when I left?
All hell broke loose. The Italians got together. Vincenzo came in. He had some actually pretty profound thoughts about Columbus Day.
Oh, all right. Well, it's a horrible day.
Well, he doesn't seem to think so.
Well, he's wrong. I stand with the First Nations peoples.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm on the fence.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, today is a special day, everybody. None of you went to see it almost, but many of them have heard about the show I was in.
Yes.
Dictator for a Day, a musical about Donald Trump where I did none of the singing.
Yes.
A lot of the speaking.
Right.
And we're here today with Rory Scholl, who did the singing. Hello, Rory.
Hello. Trump.
Thank you.
Trying to help.
Like he's been on the podcast this whole time.
The big reveal. Rory's been here.
Yeah, right.
I heard it all. I heard everything.
I don't like to lie to our audience, but he was here. Yeah. That's just the magic of podcasting. but I wanted to do a sort of fun episode to talk about the show because obviously it'll be coming out in some form probably before the election.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, and I just wanted to reconnect. I said last week, Rory and the dancers, Olivia and Gianna. Thank you.
Yeah.
You guys all have done much more, I think, of this work than me.
Yeah.
So I was like, God, they're like mercenaries. They're just like, well, good job, everybody. We're out.
Right.
And I was like, that's it, guys. But we've had so much fun hanging all this time. What's up?
Call me.
I just gotta go hang out with my dog again and wonder why my career is back to zero. No. So
yeah. were fun. Yeah, it was your new. Yeah, we were all like, yeah, this is what it is. Usually someone cleans their costumes every day, and usually this, and you're like, free cheese balls? I was like, all right, that's yeah.
Yeah, I was like the scab brought in. But yeah. the show Dictator for a Day, I figured we could start at the beginning. Like, how did you find out and get the role that you got?
Yeah, I used to do Trump. Did you hear that? Trump. I've done some Trump impressions, not as good as you. Mine were statues where I didn't even have to talk. So I didn't have to get the voice down.
Right.
But we used to do these living statues. And I just got, it was a backstage ad, and I had a bunch of people just.
Is that like Craigslist?
It's like Angie's List for actors. It's, yeah. So I just had people say, you should probably audition for this. So I sent in a reel, you know, I sent an audition. And I didn't hear anything for like months. Like it was a long time. But so yeah. And then Rich got back to me and.
Rich is the writer, producer of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, what happened was I think I had been emailed months ago also, and it may have been in my spam folder. Once I heard about it officially, I was like, I think I might have deleted that without even, because what happened with me over the last several years is I get a lot of people who send me ideas and aren't serious people, but like, have my email or are connected to me on social media and are like, I wrote this thing. I think you could really use it. And I was like in the habit of being like, no, all of you stop bothering me. It gets almost insulting when it's like you person at your desk had an idea and you're like, I know this guy from social media. I'll just send him this. And like, they'll say things like, you can use this if you want. And I'm like, why would I do that? It's terrible.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I think, but then Rich kept looking and he wanted to get in touch with me. So he contacted a comic who had me listed on his like sort of corporate booking website. And he got to me through that. And then I met Rich and we were in a Starbucks. And of course, this is like 5 weeks before showtime and he still hasn't cast speaking Trump. And I just did something for him in Starbucks and he just lost it. It was like, yeah, you're the guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're goddamn right. I am.
Yeah.
And,
well, I met him in some studio in Midtown in Manhattan there. And like the whole idea was I was going to do both parts,
right.
You know, at that time. I was like, that's a lot. So I'm glad they brought you in. So,
So that was the easy part.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it seems legit, because part of me was still like, is this legit? Like, I know this guy is like, he seems like a legitimate person, but you're like, what am I getting into?
Yeah.
So we meet in Middletown, New Jersey now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and before then, that's the part I need to, this is where the most popular person after this podcast emerges.
Oh yeah.
while I'm meeting with Rich, he says, okay, so I've got this guy. I don't know if he said your name, but let's say he did, Rory, who's going to be like singing Trump. And when he sings his Trump, it's really good, but your spoken Trump is like the best. And we also got this guy that I met who auditioned for Trump and his Trump wasn't that good. But he also did a Bernie, and his Bernie is like your Trump. And of course, the ego in me was like, oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Is it? But on the surface, I'm like, oh, great.
The classic JL response. Yeah.
No. But on the surface, I was like,
I have no equal.
on the surface, I'm serving. Sure.
Yeah.
And inside, I'm like, mm-hmm. So then the day before we go to Middletown. In New Jersey, there's a theater right off the train there. So they figured we have people coming from all different directions.
Yeah.
So that was going to be our rehearsal space for three weeks.
Well, they gave us a full like 20-minute tour of the whole space.
Yeah.
And we didn't use the space.
Right.
At all. We used one room. I was like, are we doing the show?
Well, no, you didn't, because once we did, we'll get to that.
Oh,
but we did use several rooms eventually.
But I don't know why they, yeah. Okay. I got you.
But he sends me a voicemail. Like, I get a voicemail from Rich, the producer, and it's this guy, The Deuce.
The Deuce.
He's known as The Deuce.
Man of 100 voices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
is that on the business card?
That is, yes. That's on his billboard. He has a billboard right by the theater. The Deuce, man of 100 voices.
And
no website.
So I listened to this voicemail and I was like, holy shit, this guy's Bernie is really effing good. And then I have a crisis of confidence for a second, because I was like, wait, so we have a guy who's singing as Trump. So he's already combining skills. We have this guy doing Bernie, whose Bernie is excellent. And then me, am I, did I just go from LeBron to Bosch in my own mind in terms of the big three on this thing? So when we get there to Middletown, New Jersey, you were late. If I don't say you were on the your New Jersey Transit was,
keep them waiting.
Yeah. That, and I thought it felt like a power move immediately. Like I was first one there and I was like the guy at the club who gets in too early. Yeah. And so I see the Deuce and the Deuce introduces himself. And in my head, I was like, okay, you can stop doing the Bernie impression now.
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me, oh, you sound like that.
Yeah.
And immediately I felt like, phew.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought I wasn't the alpha dog here. But no, you sound 88% like Bernie when just talking.
Yep.
Right.
I think to give people
an
idea.
It's like the producer had a meeting with him and he was just like, he's talking. He's like, wait a minute, do that again. That sounds just like Bernie Sanders. Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Are you? Because it sounds like somebody else.
Is it, can you do the God? I'm going to make you an offer. You can't refuse.
Yes. Like,
well,
right.
That's man of one voice and 100
I am Vito Corleone. Yes. I. And so I heard him speak and I was like, oh, you're like 88% of the way to Bernie when not doing Bernie. That doesn't take away the fact that his Bernie is really good. But it was like, part of me was like thinking, oh God, I'm going to be like, drag this thing down. And so we all meet. And what were your first impressions first day?
Well, you had me convinced we were on a reality show. Like the, what was it called? The jury duty or whatever it was.
When we left, that's right.
And that's all I could think of for the next couple of days. I was like, because it kept getting weirder and weirder and weirder the more we went on. Because they were like, we were like 5 weeks from the first show. And they're like, we're going to add dancers in a couple of weeks. And then puppets. And I went bales of hay. And Ryan, the director, was like, I got a hay guy. I was like, you have a hay guy? And so you're like, what if we're on a reality show? I was like, maybe we are, because they had a camera crew there.
Right.
So,
like, yeah, our second, I think it was our second day, or maybe did I say it after the first?
No,
it was
first day.
Yeah. We're riding the train back to the city, and I was like, what if this is like jury duty, but it's like called the play or the musical?
Right, yeah.
And, you know, as it goes on, because it was like, we're putting on a show. I've never been in any theater.
Yeah.
We have the Deuce.
Yeah.
And we have Rory.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this going, we're going to do this in, and I think both of us at this moment, our expectations were as low as could be, because I didn't see, I was like, I'm happy to do this.
Yep.
I'm happy to be paid to work. It's more fun than legal work, but I don't know how this is going to how this is going to happen in such a short amount of time.
Yeah. And then when they said I'm the singing dancing Trump, then all of a sudden they thought I was a song and dance guy, and I'm not. I've done plays, but it took me 2 weeks to learn a box step for a show at one point. And so I was like, this is another reason it may not be real. They're like, how's your soft shoe? I was like, is that a real question? Like, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I was convinced, and as the show went on, I kept adding things to be like, what's the goal here? If this is a reality show that we're on, is it like, and then by the end of it, when we were kind of cracking jokes, it was like, oh, we're not getting the money. We've made too many jokes about the Deuce.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that might actually be the thing.
But the cameras are watching you at every moment.
Look at
basically,
it's called Don't Diss the Deuce.
Right.
And you get $100,000. Congratulations. To the cameraman.
I was listening to everything you said.
Everything you said.
It's like an exercise in empathy.
Right.
Yeah. That's actually a great idea for a show.
Oh, man.
So we're in Middletown, and it's another thing about the theater. It was near nowhere. So like the first day I was like, oh, I just assumed getting off of New Jersey, there'd be a Dunkin' Donuts or a pizza, like something. And there was a pizza shop like half a mile away that I had to just walk in the street. There were no sidewalks. Yeah. But anyway, so we're going through this. The script we get on day one, we're looking at where Rich was wanting to do like a 75 to 90 minute show. Now, you've been to the show, Mike.
Yep.
It was 90 minutes, 85.
I think
minutes.
90 there. On the dot. 90
right. on the dot. Wow.
Yeah, it felt that way. Yeah.
Right. And that was a 30 page script. The thing we get handed on day one, 55 pages.
Yeah.
Pages.
Yeah.
14 songs or something. Mm-hmm. There were like 14 songs. We cut a bunch of songs.
Yeah. Rory had to memorize a double album.
Yeah.
Use Your Illusion, Dictator for a Day, Illusion 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I had like 11 monologues maybe that got cut down to
you
eight.
Had 11?
I did eight.
The show was 11 monologues? No,
it was. I did eight. Yeah.
No, I know, but even still. Because it felt... I'm trying to think back now to being in the audience.
It was only a week ago.
It felt... I know. You're right.
He had a really great day.
Yeah.
It felt... I think it felt like five, if I'm thinking about it, if I really think about it. So I think if you would have had 11, it would have felt like 20.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been a lot, man.
And that would have been a lot of, like, there was just, I was so glad when he cut so much. But yeah.
One of the songs we cut, though, that they were pushing for was a YMCA parody for MAGA, M-A-G-A. And one of the, they were like talking, I guess one of the village people or the cop or something.
Wait, really?
Lived in New Jersey or something. They were trying to get the rights to the song. It was
no
crazy.
Shit. And they're like, if we can just put the cop from the village people in
just
the
put
show?
Him in it. Yes.
Are you really a cop? No, dude. Not a cop. So
why am I here?
So day two, this is a pivotal moment. Day two. We've introduced each other. We did a half. We were like, we're going to do a table read.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then like 3.5 hours in the table read, we're on page 30 or 55. It's like, all right, we'll call it for a day. And it became very clear that a 55-page table read is, you know, a move. It would take the same amount of time as a movie.
Yeah.
So
Lord of the Rings here.
Right. So you shall not sing. So,
there's one ring. Bring us all together. All right.
Precious.
My precious.
So we get to the end of day two, and Ryan, our director, who I will have to share, very, very nice guy.
Yep.
Very calm, very upbeat. But this is the first time it's the first time, and he doesn't crack at all for like another 3.5 weeks. But he cracks early because we're sitting around scheduling our rehearsal schedule, which is going to be fairly intense. And then when can we do the show? Last week in September or first weekend of October? It ends up being the first weekend of October. And we've already gotten the parts. And the Deuce has a manager with him.
His consigliere.
Yes, Sammy.
Sammy.
Also Sammy. They're both named Sammy. Sammy is his manager.
And we think Sammy's there because Deuce is, you know, he's 100 years old. Maybe he needs a little guidance or a little like pay someone else to pay attention.
Yeah.
That's on top of things.
Right.
And
we'll get to that.
Yeah.
And so we're going over the schedule, and Sammy is not there this day. He was there on day one, not on day two.
Okay.
And Deuce just looks at Rich and Ryan. Ryan is the director, Rich is the writer, producer, and goes, Did Sammy not tell you? No, I can't do Thursday. And I keep the Sabbath on Friday. And then we go, and Saturday is, you know, it's the fall, so thankfully it's not the summer, or else he wouldn't have been able to show up.
Yeah.
But he was just in this, like, no, Saturday will be very... And they're talking, like, can you walk from Brooklyn? Like, we're going through, how long would that be? Like, what is he, 10 miles from the theater?
Yeah.
And so we're going through all this, and you can just see Ryan. Because Ryan's thought, if I had a thought bubble on Ryan, is, so you can't do...
The whole show.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
The show you agreed to.
Of a 3-show run.
Yeah.
And he just had this one moment where he's like, okay, well, so what we're going to do, and it was like, he brought it back in, but you just saw the first of very few, like, wait, okay, so stop for a second. Yeah. Like, it was one of those, like, and he barely raised his voice the whole time. He's always just very calm and chill and upbeat.
Because he had a lot to do. He had a lot on his plate. So for him to be that calm, because I wouldn't have been that calm, but he was,
That was our first big laugh.
Yeah.
Like the train ride home from that one was just the two of us going, is there a problem if I can't attend rehearsal or the show?
Yeah. Do I still get paid?
So
why couldn't he do Thursday? Was there a reason?
Well, that Thursday was
Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, okay. Rosh Hashanah. Okay,
so that knocked out Thursday. So it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it was like Friday was a we all knew Friday was a definite no-no. Saturday was going to be interesting because Saturday was going to be this. We'll do an 8:30 instead of an 8 o'clock show.
Can
you get there for 8:30? It was like, I'll try.
But then we started at 8.
Well, wait, we're not there yet.
I don't want to jump ahead, but yeah.
We started at like 8:11.
8:11.
Never forget.
And then stopped again.
Yes.
That was our first stop.
So we then, rehearsals go along, and then we kind of go on almost like a Lord of the Rings. me and Rory are now on two separate paths because Rory has a piano player, the great
Rachel Kaufman.
Rachel.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
A lot of songs to learn. And so I do a lot of improv. That's my background. So I got my friend Rachel, who's an improv pianist. And I was like, I know I'm going to fuck up the lyrics. She can stop and catch up with me. Otherwise, yeah. It would be a click track and be awful. But yeah, so I got.
She was basically that, like when Mark Gasol got like the Grizzlies traded Pau Gasol to the Lakers and it was like the biggest bullshit trade ever. But then Mark Gasol was like the player to be named later or the draft pick later or something.
Yeah.
That's what Rachel was like. It was like all of a sudden it was like, wow, she really added so much to the show instantly. So we then go on our separate paths kind of for a couple of weeks because they're like, if you can work, why take an hour out into New Jersey if you can rehearse right in Queens with your pianist?
Yeah.
And so I'm going out there and it's just me and the Deuce and Rich and
so you guys are traveling with the Deuce? You guys were like going out
together?
No,
we just arrived at the same time.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
He drove in from the city and I always wanted to be like.
He drove? Did Sammy drive?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, no, because, no way Deuce because drives. Maybe Sammy dropped him off. I don't know. Driving Miss Deucey. I'm trying to drive you to the store. You're my best friend.
You're my best friend.
So basically rehearsals go on and things get tightened and cut and everything. And we were kind of like, sometimes you'd go out there and be there before me and leave before me because we were really just doing, as you saw the show, it was like,
yeah.
Other than the week of the show to put it all together, we really didn't. I was disappointed because I was like, yeah, but I like our train rides. It's fun. It's fun to discuss the show instead of just being there like.
We had taco time, though, in the city. So that was nice.
Good. Yeah. So that's basically Middletown, New Jersey is all this preliminary where we're a week out and it's like, is this going to work? Like there's, and the way I described it, and a lot of credit to Ryan, it felt like there were these four separate things that were so far apart. And then all of a sudden you see them start to come together. Mm-hmm. And now it's like a race against the clock. It's like they're coming together. But will they come together October 19th or will they come together October 4th when the show starts? And so then we move to the, what was that place called?
The Producers Club.
The Producers Club.
Yeah.
Right the venue where that actually housed the show.
Right. Yeah. Right above Chipotle.
You've already forgotten. Right.
off Broadway, or as I like to designate it, we were doing above Chipotle Theater.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
Above Chipotle? Yeah. Your first show? So
yeah. I mean, you could have been above a Subway.
Yeah.
Right.
Restaurant, not Subway.
No, I got it. Oh, come on.
All right. We're working with pros. I'm not paying attention.
What's happening?
So we get to the Producers Club, and this is the first couple of days. The dancers show up.
Yeah.
Because the choreographer Olivia had to go to Italy for a wedding.
Yeah.
So Rory does not have his dance steps at all. 4 days, five days before the show?
Oh, yeah. We learned it. What was our Thursday? Was our dress or Friday? And Tuesday was when we started doing the dances.
So Tuesday,
like, here's
was
a golf club.
It,
and
right.
I was like, okay, we'll make something with this. That'll be good.
So it's still, I'm not kidding you when I say like Tuesday was still like we could just be in Middletown still. Like this isn't, other than getting to use the space. Now we have Sammy, the third Sammy is our sound guy. So he's doing his thing.
Three Sammys.
Yeah,
three
a lot times. Of Sammys.
A lot of Sammys.
And boy.
Well, this is your first show. Like we were saying, usually you have at least a month and a half of dress or a rehearsal and then a week of dress shows. And then so this was all rushed. It was like.
It was somewhere between a play and Saturday Night Live in terms of the time and and throwing everything together. But then I feel like we should just cut to when is Wednesday. The sound, when do the sound guys show up?
Oh, yeah, maybe Wednesday.
I call him Stone Cold Sound Austin.
Oh, this kid.
Austin.
Oh, man.
Would be played by Stavros Halkias in the movie.
Okay.
And that's actually quite on point.
Okay.
When I tell you, they got to a point, like, so he's doing the sound. He's a very laid back, nice guy. And he was enjoying it. Laura hasn't touched my butt as much as this kid, just fuddling and screwing up like my sound pack.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to touch your butt again. I'm sorry.
Right. Oh, and
I was like,
he did that
point,
to me, but he didn't have a sound pack. What the fuck, Austin? Right. All right. Well,
Austin!
Yeah, Austin!
That's because only one of you have a dancer's body.
That's right. It was the Deuce. That's it.
So Austin is the sound guy. And this is like, if this were a docuseries, this is like episode 6 is where Austin shows up. And like,
that's Austin.
That's who we put forward for guest actor nomination for a comedy series. Mm-hmm. Because he's so laid back. But if you were to count all errors leading up to the show, 90%+ are Austin.
Yeah.
Like, it was like everything was kind of coming along, and then sound, and me, and some of it was mics, but like, I didn't have sound for like all of Wednesday. Yeah. I must have done an hour of testing, and it was like, is it because I'm too tall? Does the sound not get up here?
Yeah.
And they were all, but nobody really got mad at him.
But he had a crew, though, because it was him, and then there was that guy in the bucket hat who every time I saw him, he had a Budweiser in his hand, like just
sick,
cracking it open during the show. During the shows, like, he would time it with the song, just... I was like, what? The show's happening right now. You know, it's just a weird crew.
So that introduces them. And he, like, when I tell you it was like the meetings after would just be like, everybody, everything's good, right? Except sound. Yeah. And we're doing this tomorrow, right? Like, oh no, Thursday. So Wednesday, no, Friday was
Thursday
the first show.
Thursday was the critic?
The critic shows up Thursday to our dress rehearsal, and my audience already knows what the critic
I saw
said.
Your last one. Okay, that's good. But we're also convinced that he was a plant by Rich to give us confidence
that
Ryan.
Oh, really?
If this were a reality show, absolutely.
That it could have just been some guy that showed up and was like, you were the best I've
ever
seen.
Well, his name was Carl McCritick. So right there, I thought, maybe this guy's not real.
Yeah.
So, no, that was the joke afterward. It was like, that felt really good. But at the same time, we did joke like, but what if Ryan just, as a boost of confidence, day before opening night.
That'd be a genius movie.
Right?
Right.
Because I certainly felt confident after
that. Yeah, yeah.
I started I started harassing the dancers. I threw the deuce off the roof. I said, this is my show.
Well, we also thought it might have been the deuce, right? He's just like, ha-ha, great show. You know, it's like, oh.
I told you I could do voices.
I have two. That's two. That's two voices.
So Thursday, the critic shows up, and I think we're doing run-throughs. This is when Ryan's second explosion, and I don't think you weren't there for this.
Yeah.
This is where you guys have left, and now I'm just to get a run through. I'm going to do all 8 of my monologues, mm-hmm. you know, just in the space and just to continue saying them because I haven't done some of them in entirety. And the sound guys are doing the sound stuff and really loud. Actually, like, and I'm not a Karen. Oh, no. It was like, basically, they were like happy hour volume back there. Like, they're
doing. Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like. And then,
makes sense.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like speaking, and I'm competing with them at this point. At which point, Ryan, this is the only time he really exploded. But he exploded. And you could see it building. And I was nervous. He just was like. It started with, excuse me, back there, my star is trying to run. Now, where I'm at is like, I thought an 8, but on a relative scale, he was still only at 5.
Oh, shit.
But it sounded, I was like, well, he's like, so stop. And then a couple F-bombs came out and he was like, what is your problem? It was like, it was big. He had been saving, but this was like deuce for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Sound guys for 3 days, put them together.
Collision course.
Yeah. So, and then everything calmed down and we were good. And I got through my monologues and then we get to Friday.
Yeah.
Am I missing anything at this point? Now Friday's opening night.
Well, Friday. Yeah. And the dancers and I are still going over stuff. We're still adding things to the songs and stuff.
And the screen, I mean, what Ryan did, though, is pretty incredible. Because
the screen was great. Yeah,
showed
up
Thursday?
Yeah, I think
like
so.
Like Thursday, that screen showed up, and he was still making like AI imagery and loading them in. It was like, Ryan really, he was just drinking Red Bulls, and he was like, I didn't sleep last night.
Yeah,
and
I was
like,
since fucking June.
Yeah, now having seen the product, I'm like, I get that. It really fell on him, to be honest. Like, he was the most confident that this would come off because he's done theater for a long time. Sure. But we were all like, well, I know my lines, my part's done. And it did come together. So Friday, we do a run through.
In the after Did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, we did do a run through and then had a break and then did the show.
And then the Deuce wasn't there. Okay. And just to give everybody an idea of the show, Rich loves the Deuce.
Yeah.
I think I can say that. Rich loves all of us, but Rich really loved the Deuce.
Loves the Deuce. And he looks like, what was the actor who played Carla's husband on Cheers? That's who he kind of reminds
Hedaya.
Me of. Yeah. That's who he reminds me of. With the, yeah.
He's Carla's father-in-law.
Yeah.
So, so the show starts with, like, Rich was really getting in Deuce stuff. Into that's why the Deuce is so kind of integral to the show, because the Deuce was there to do Bernie.
Yep.
But then he had told Rich he does all these other voices, and they were like generationally, I guess, stuff that Rich liked. Mm, you know,
Marv Albert.
Timely Marv stuff Albert. Like Marv Albert, Vito Corleone, Rosie Perez,
Rosie
Mike
Perez.
Tyson.
I never got
He did Rosie Perez.
We never got to see it.
Deuce, if you're listening, please leave it in the comments.
And Columbo.
Yeah,
so the Columbo one is
very relevant to, so to this. So.
And Sheriff Lobo.
And a lot of these got cut out by Ryan, I think. Yeah. Kind of in a gentle way, but sort of like, I'm not sure this is appropriate. I'm not sure this fits. So we left with Columbo and Vinny, not as good as Vinny the Game, but a generic Italian character instead
did
of Vito
Did you say
Corleone.
Mike Tyson? Because he did. He was supposed to do Mike Tyson.
He did
too.
Do Mike Tyson for us, and then it was cut. Like, So... The show begins with a, how does it begin? Bernie.
A Bernie video, or if he's there live.
Right.
Which
So it begins with Bernie.
Right, depending on if it's the Sabbath or not.
Yeah.
Right.
Or if he's like Saturday. Well, anyway.
So it's a video on Friday. Yeah. Saturday is the real kid.
Saturday's crazy.
But Friday begins with a video of Bernie and then a Putin voiceover.
Yeah.
Not by the Deuce. Yeah. It was going to be by the Deuce until we realized that.
Yeah. Dos Badania. I am Putin.
And then
it's me, Vladimir Putin.
It's me, Vladimir Putin.
I am from Brighton Beach.
Brighton Beach, Red Square. Where's my nurse?
So we get, then it's you sing a verse, but then it's like opening monologue and then song, monologue, song. And it goes on that pattern. But what was funny is for the show here, we had a different guy step in to play Columbo. Mm-hmm. If you're asking me, which, we probably could have.
Yeah, can I ask you guys?
Sure.
Not to like, I really enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
And I was with the person who came with me, Ronnie, is 24.
Mm-hmm.
We were both sort of just like, what?
Right.
With Columbo?
Yeah, why is Columbo, what does Columbo have to do with it? Like, even the Reagan thing, like, made some sense.
Sure.
It was kind of like, all right, you know, political party, there's a Reagan thing. That's but I was just sitting there and I was just like, why is Columbo in this play? This doesn't really make a
and
lot of sense.
That's where Rich, you know, that's where it went from, are you a fan of the Deuce or are you being extorted by the Deuce?
Right,
Because Columbo here is just kind of like, all right.
Yeah.
Because you have these interludes.
It's like, kind of, there's a little bit where it's just like, all right, moving on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like getting a scene with the, and Murder, She Wrote.
Yes.
You know,
right.
It's like, what?
If we were to do this again or do it somewhere else, I would suggest, as I said, that like, what if I just did Mitch McConnell in Columbo's place? People would probably think it was much more thematically appropriate.
Yeah.
And better.
I had to tap her on the arm and be like, you know, that's Columbo, right? Because but first I had to make sure that I was right.
Yeah.
I had to be like, I think that's Columbo. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's Columbo. Okay. You know, that's Columbo, right? So it was a little weird. And then it's also, again, it was just like a non sequitur in the way where it was kind of just like, well, this also doesn't really have anything to do with politics.
Right.
It's just like, there's just Columbo. Columbo's just out here. And now we're moving on.
I guess Rich did that because Deuce said he could do a Columbo, but then he wasn't available for two of the three shows.
So Rich's friend does a Columbo.
That's who you saw.
And that was, just to be fair, a better Columbo.
I mean, it was a good Columbo.
Right.
It was more just like, what the fuck is
going
in the show?
And I think that's because the Deuce, what's funny about this to me is that it was like almost like if we had had Rich Little in the show, throw George Burns in there because Rich Little's in the show.
Right.
Obviously, he'll do Nixon, but throw George Burns because it's Rich Little.
Yeah.
But this was kind of like a Rich Little treatment.
Right.
Yeah.
To like wedge in, you know, but we're not trying to denigrate. It's a 60-second thing in the show. But it was just funny because it was like, It's just he really liked the Deuce's stuff. It was that simple. And when you produce and write the thing, you get to obviously do that.
Listen.
But Columbo.
Produce. Wait a minute. It's in the name.
Produce.
Producer. Okay. Wow. That's
we figured
We're
it out.
Produce. We are produce.
So not very fresh produce. So Friday's show goes well. Mike, you were there.
Yep.
A lot of fun. And it felt very good to be like, okay, we got it under our belt. Nothing really happened. Nothing. Just a good show.
Yeah.
I think. So we're feeling good. So Saturday's show. Okay. Saturday's show is the, I think the,
yeah.
We may not even have to get into Sunday's show.
Sunday's is a good show.
Sunday was a good show.
Saturday was weird.
So yeah. Sunday and a Saturday show, I've hid this from my audience, but in the audience for Saturday's show was Lin-Manuel Miranda's dad was at the show. His father was in the show at the show. And so Saturday's show is the bottom, the worst of the weekend.
The one that Lin's dad was at?
Yeah. Oh. It was still good. No. It's still good.
It was fine. Yeah, it was good.
But
yeah.
There were Friday, I don't recall any screw-ups.
Oh, I screwed up. I screwed up a couple of the songs, but not huge.
Logistically, nothing that anybody in the audience could actually pick out.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, Saturday was, Saturday is when we started.
So Saturday, we were going to start at 8:30 because the Deuce was
on his way.
Yeah.
He was
walking across the bridge.
Shabbos Goy was rickshawing him to the theater.
He really walked from Brooklyn?
No.
Yeah, no, maybe. I don't know.
But he had to wait.
He started 40 years. I've been walking to come to do Dictator for a day.
Comes with a big beard looking like Moses. So he's there and he's put a fresh layer of pine tar. Like George Brett would be suspended.
Yeah.
I think to make it a baseball reference.
Yeah,
oh, George Brett would be storming out of the dugout going, fuck you.
I don't know what that was. Yeah.
It was like a fresh coat of pine tar in his hair.
Right in the center, and then it just branches out like one of those science things where you touch and the things are all around. It's just up like this.
So the show starts. So we're starting at 8:30 and we're all getting ready for an 8:30 start. And then all of a sudden, Jim, who played Reagan in the show, comes in and says, everybody ready? And I'm like, I know I'm the novice here, but even I know you can't just tell us 8:30 show and then like 8:11 we're going.
Right.
Because you're just kind of like, okay, do my makeup. Like my makeup is getting done. So then we were all just like, what? No, you can't. Why are we doing it? Why are we starting early?
He's doing his speech. The first video kind of starts.
Right.
And we're like, what?
We were like, no. So I'm like hurrying to get the makeup on. And the show did start early still.
Yeah.
But they did pause.
Well, Reagan stopped
again.
It. The guy playing Reagan comes out and goes, the actors aren't ready because they thought it was 8:30. And Ryan's like, well, that's live theater, kids. That was his answer, which is great. Yeah.
No, but I didn't realize the actors thought it was 8:30 because everyone told them it was 8:30. Stupid actors. So it starts at probably 8:25 at this point, but that was enough time, obviously, just because I don't want this come off like pretentious, but it's like you're getting like prepped for 8:30.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And as soon as like you realize you're not ready on time,
if this was union, you'd be taken care of. Don't worry. You'll learn.
But the other thing I will say. On Friday's show, just to go back to Friday's show real quick. So Rory's getting his makeup done before me. And he's getting a little tense. You know, I was like, why tense? Come on, man. And then I sit in the makeup chair. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, that's why. Because you're just sitting there still. And all you have to do is think about your lines and the fact that the show's starting soon. Like walking around lets you feel more loose. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, okay, that's what he's.
And then we didn't have not that we needed private dressing rooms, but we didn't really have a quiet place. It was more like a street fair with people just constantly walking past you and asking questions. And it's like, oh, I need to.
At one point I was like, I just want to change my pants when there's only six people in here.
Yeah.
So Saturday show begins. It's begun. And they do the Deuce video. So I'm like, I guess the Deuce isn't making it. So I come out for my first monologue after the video's already played.
Yeah.
The Deuce and Sammy are like standing in the entrance, the Deuce and his manager. And I'm like, hey, Deuce. And
hey, the Deuce.
Are you going to be in the show?
Yeah.
Right.
He wanted to.
So what I heard, so I'm like, oh, I mean, is he going to be in the show or is he going to do the same? Like, he's here. Maybe he'll do the second part. And I remember Meredith, the makeup and hair woman, was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. No, this is the best part. So apparently the dude said, I have to go on. My nephews are like, they
bought tickets. I have family here. It's like, your parents? Or no, who's here? Yeah. That's my boy. Oh, Papa Deuce.
So I'm not paying attention to anything, but he never comes backstage because our room was the one with the makeup woman. So he never comes. So I'm just assuming, I guess he's not going out. He does go out as Bernie with no makeup, no glasses.
No, yeah. Not his white hair. Didn't sync up with the video at all.
And Laura was at this show and she was like, the video was funny. I was a little confused.
Yeah.
When he was doing Bernie, but like the guy.
Well,
Bernie,
this is on Laura, obviously.
Bernie, yeah. Bernie on the video was Bernie, white hair, glasses.
Yeah.
And then a guy comes out who looks nothing like Bernie doing Bernie.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now at this point, I'm going, oh, okay.
He's in the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I know my cues and I know my last monologue is after the aforementioned Columbo. So I'm backstage. I go, okay, like, let me just fix my wig a little bit, like 10 seconds. But I'm like, okay, if you can fix the wig. I got about a minute 10 for the Columbo. And then I just hear the director, Ryan, say, do we have an actor?
Yeah.
Something to that nature. I was like, it was like the scene in my favorite movie, Amadeus, when he stops and goes, they're playing my music, and goes sprinting out to conduct. And I look out and I go, oh, that's my cue. And this was the only time I felt bad about my final monologue. I felt on Sunday I did it the best. Friday, I was very happy with it. Saturday, because you don't realize, I'm not, as much as I want to be a professional, I professionally worked and I gave professional effort, but this is my first thing.
Yeah.
It unnerved me to just be like, oh, my, and now I kind of look like I'm.
But that wasn't on you. Deuce just decided, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
It just didn't come out. So.
But to me, it was like the audience.
That was it.
I don't want the audience.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, the audience won't know if you messed up a lyric if you cover it.
Yeah,
they don't know. They don't have the book in front of them.
Yeah.
But they will interpret me coming on late as me messing up.
Right.
Which kind of, you know, I was like, and I did it. And I was not as good as I could have been on that last one. So show ends. Is there anything else remarkable? Oh, I did like how, oh no, this is Sunday. We do have to talk about Sunday show, but
yeah.
Anything else you can remember from Saturday?
No, that was just bananas time with Deuce and Sammy. So Sammy's his assistant or nurse or whatever Sammy is. And you just think, then they both missed the cue. Like, are you here to also miss the cue? Does Sammy need a consigliere? Like, I don't understand how that happens.
Who watches,
like,
the watcher?
Yeah, exactly. Who deuces the deuce? I mean, come on.
Is Trace here? Is Trace anywhere in the building?
You're both.
So, okay. So
that night I split to do Ben Franklin at a wedding. So that's when I was. Yeah. I had a second gig that night from 10:30 to 2:30. I was Ben Franklin at a wedding reception for some reason.
Are you serious?
Yes.
No shit.
Yeah. These people they loved American history and they loved Jedis. So I dressed as Ben Franklin. My friend dressed as George Washington. There were Jedis. We all had lightsabers at a wedding reception till 2 a.m. I don't know what my life is, but that was Saturday. So
that sounds like a fun gig.
It was fun. It was weird.
So Saturday, I felt like I'd gotten what I wanted out of the process so far. Like, Friday felt like a really fun show.
Yeah.
To be honest, I felt validated by you and Ronnie, like, in terms of,
yeah,
this is skewing a little older, but you enjoyed the show. You complimented the
everything
work.
But Columbo.
There you go. And so, and then I got kind of the crazy story that I could share with, like, Laura, like, afterwards, like, yeah, the chaos tonight.
Yeah.
I did fine. Rory did fine, but there was chaos. So it was like a fun, this was like, even though you don't actually want that in hindsight, you're just kind of like, well, we nailed it on Friday. And then we had a little kooky one on Saturday. So Sunday, the matinee, which I think we had the most ticket sales to,
yeah.
The matinee kicks off and, oh, and by the way, the Deuce also gave Meredith a cold. So she was wearing the makeup woman. No, just
she was
from,
so mad at him.
Yeah, because he had a cold and he was like, Deuce is the kind of guy who just kind of lets you know when it's too late.
Oh yeah,
you know, like, oh, by the way, I have a very bad cold right now. Well, I've been doing your makeup for 20 minutes in your face with no protection.
He comes in, gets us all sick, and says, I can't do the show. Good luck. Bye. So wait.
And the reason Mike was so, and this is a little flashback, the reason Mike was so intrigued about the Deuce in particular was because I told the first story I told you about him was from a rehearsal that you weren't at. I think we were already split into our two locations. But we were doing a walkthrough of the show, and I was doing some of the monologues in the Middletown Theater. And Ryan, there was no piano, so Ryan was just going, and boom, and JL comes off, and then the boom, and then we have the music, and then as the music plays, the Deuce comes out, and he's just like, ba-bum, bum, ba-dum, and then the Deuce just goes, am I going to get a cue? And Ryan... not losing his temper outwardly because, but dump, that was your cue when I said you go out. And that was just so funny because that was Ryan being a perfect, like Ryan, like I said, he only exploded once that one time.
And rightly so. He kept it together.
That's the thing. And I think he just kind of was like, one nuclear bomb to cover up the 14 things that have been killing me right now.
Yeah.
And then that was it. Nothing happened again. But I thought that was funnier because it was just like that. And by the way, once that happened and we were all in the same room, we just kept cracking a little bit on the deal. Like none of us got the money from the reality show is what I'm saying.
No. We dissed the Deuce. you dissed the Deuce.
So the third show happens and, is there anything? I'll get to the Deuce parts, but did anything? Oh, yes. You just gave me a look like, of course, something happened. So the show's going well. I thought it was my best. It was my favorite performance.
Yeah, my songs were right. I thought I did the songs
perfect.
The best.
And everybody kind of thought the third show was the best. I remember Meredith saying, I asked the Deuce not to put all that stuff in his hair because it makes it harder because now he did have the white hair. He was there for the full show this time.
Right.
And she told me.
He was in character.
She told me he walked in and she was like, why'd you put, I told you not to put all that stuff. He goes, I put the stuff in my head. Yeah. Like a 180, like he was confirming with her. I did what I did wasn't supposed to do. I just put the stuff in the hair.
It's like the Q&A night. It's like,
damn it, the Q&A.
We had a Q&A night.
The investor showcase.
Yeah.
Flashback again. Yeah. Okay. This is a week before. I think that was the Thursday.
That was the Thursday before the run.
The run. And
we only did like four.
We did songs, half. We did like half the show.
Yeah.
And it went really well. And then, you know, just for the people paying money to make it happen, it's like, hey, ask any questions you want. So there were several for Trump. And then it was like for everybody in the cast, somebody made a joke. Like when Trump learns about this show, how do you want to die? Like, how do you want him to kill you? The joke being like, Trump's artists will be executed for insulting the dear leader. And so I think I said hanged because I'm so tall. Maybe I'll still be able to like reach the ground and not die. And everybody gives their answer. Yeah. And then we get to the Deuce and he goes, what? No, I don't want to kill Trump.
Like, no,
Deuce, how do you want to die? I don't want to die. And we were like, whose line is it anyway? Yeah. Not Medusa's. So that was enjoyable. But on Sunday, he was fully in the show, Columbo and Bernie and everything else.
The Columbo thing was cracking me up, though, because he was late for that cue, too, because he was like, he didn't know what jacket to wear. And I'm like, the trench coat? Yeah. Because he's looking, he's like, which one? I was like, get the trench coat off the hook. And I was like...
I didn't know.
Oh man!
And so we're going through this show, and it's going well. But like right before my last monologue, there's the fascist girl dance sequence, and the two dancers, Gianna and
great. God, they
Olivia.
Learned so many routines so fast.
She comes off stage. Olivia looks at me and she goes, "Did you see what just happened?" And I go, "No." But I hope it involved the Deuce. No, I didn't say that. But then she goes, the Deuce just came out and started dancing with us.
He just starts fucking doing the twist. And they're like, that threw us off. You can't do that to dancers. Because
it's like a 2-minute small stage.
Yeah.
Measured out choreography.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know if Rich had said get out. I think that's what they said. Rich was just like, get out there, like threw a remix in, the Deuce remix.
That's the one thing you listen to, Deuce?
It's the remix, it's like, choreography. Everybody.
Yeah, we're not there to dance.
So that was the show. I saw him apologize because he was like, he told me to go out there. I'm sorry. Okay. Everything's good. It was still, once again, that's one of those things. They can be annoyed, but the audience loved it and loved the show. And everybody thought that was our best one. So great. Perfect. And then at the curtain call, this was my favorite thing. We're all lined up and we're all in like costume. And then the Deuce comes out in a white, like his undershirt and slacks. Like he was halfway to getting changed to leave. I was like, oh, we got to do the curtain call. Okay. And then we had to do pickups.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you had to do some close-ups with the dancers.
Yeah.
I had to do, like, I'm going to be kind of the opening and closing of the video portion where they do, like, me getting ready and, like, getting into character. And then, like, when it ends, I, like, toss my wig off.
Oh,
and,
is
like,
that? That's what they did?
Back to me. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Right. Like, so I show up and I go, and, like, toss the wig at the camera.
Cool.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But Ryan, and it was so funny the way Ryan said it, because he was just in, like, job's done. No reason to get mad at anybody, because, hey, Deuce, if you have to go, you can go. But just wanted to know if we need you, could you stay like 20 minutes in case we need to just get a couple close-ups? And Deuce just looked at him and went, I really got to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, did you schedule something for 15 minutes after your Broadway performance? So
I'm in a matzo ball eating contest in the East Village. I gotta go.
And then it was over. And the thing is, this is going to be, I mean, we know their plan is to rent, sell on streaming, some streaming or multiple streaming platforms. So it's, as jokey as this was, I think I was very proud to be in this, and I was really proud of how it came together when it was like, will this come together? And then it came together like, and with 10 minutes to spare, the show's ready, which is kind of an exciting thrilling, and it makes you feel more proud because
everybody was professional. The dancers were professional. The camera crew was great. Rich and Ryan were great. Like, everyone was good. It's like a pie coming together, and then all this, all the slices, and then the deuces, and he's a breadstick that comes in. He's like, it's like, doesn't work. But I thought the last show was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like, my whole thing is, all the jokes aside, I want to do, like, I keep hoping that we'll get a call for, like, hey, this theater in whatever booked us for a 10 show run before the election.
I hope it happens.
Yeah. It would be nice.
For a day, the songs are still in your head. The songs won't go away.
Yeah. Immunity was in my head immediately, and that had not been in my head. But then it was, It Ain't Easy Being God was in my head a little bit. But but Dictator for a Day is the one that's most in my head.
And the Deuces song. Which was funny because they did it. They actually sang it. He rushed it. So it's like, let's get rid of the billionaires. Put him in a wheelchair. Throw him down the stairs. And he's still playing the first verse. He's like, slow down, dude. Slow down. It's like, two, three, four.
I have an appointment.
Yeah. I can't make it. Sammy, get my car. What? What's happening? All right.
But it was just, I wanted to do this. It's different, obviously. Yeah. You know, some of the political junkies, like, what am I listening to?
Yeah.
But it was... You know, it was a fun experience. And there were so many fun, weird things that were happening during this, that it was just all of it made me want to do it more and do more of this, you know? So it was,
But
Rory, I got to say, for an improv guy, very funny.
Okay. Wow.
No. And when I say that, what I really mean is I felt like I was hanging with a stand-up comic, not with a improv actor in terms of the humor. That's the, I mean, that's
still
the nice,
insulting.
Of course
still
it is, insulting. But I think that's the nice thing a stand-up comic can say.
Yeah.
You know, like if I was with Wayne Brady, I'd be like, good for improv, funny improv guy. But I'm saying you're stand-up funny.
Wow. I'm stand-up funny.
But it was good. It
What's
was just,
next? Podcast funny? I don't know. We'll see.
That doesn't exist.
That's not a thing. No.
No.
No, just, I had a blast. I loved meeting you, and it was great. It was
we're just truth tellers here.
That's it.
We're not going for funny. We're going for truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what they say.
And are you going to have like a screening?
Yes. If it actually comes out in a link. So there's I'm part of a theater in Brooklyn called The Rat, the Random Access Theater. It's right under the bridge in Dumbo. And yes, definitely. If we have a screening,
I'll be there.
Please come out.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So great. And where can people follow you before we kick you out of here?
Rory's Rangers with the Z on Instagram. And I'm filming a show for PBS this Wednesday called Stories from the Stage. It should air in November. Plug, plug, plug. Trump, Trump, Trump.
Trump, Trump,
and,
Trump.
And
also you can see Rory if you watch CNN like I do. You can see him in a commercial with Jake Tapper.
That's right.
Arguing whether a hot dog is a sandwich or not.
Oh, yeah.
We may never know.
Yeah. That's Rory.
That's me.
So
fucking cool.
All right. So I guess we can let Rory out of here. And do I have time to review a special? You know what, everybody? We just broke down an entire special.
That's
right. We'll save comedy talk for next week. Mike's got a date, and I think I got him even more aroused than his date by saying we weren't going to do comedy talk.
It did make me very happy.
Mike is like, oh, no, no. I would normally perform, but you don't get it. JL didn't do comedy talk, and I kind of went early tonight. I'm sorry. It's not you. It was JL. He didn't do comedy talk. You know what, everybody? You know where you can find me. I got shows. I already pimped the Pittsburgh and Chicago Pittsburgh shows. Yeah. Patreon.
And
blah,
you did
blah,
a punchdown, in theory. You told the guy, the Pittsburgh guy that wanted the...
Oh, yeah, that was a big punchdown. Oh.
Yeah.
I felt, yeah. So, you know where to find my stuff. Please leave a review for the show on Spotify or Apple or both. If you don't watch on YouTube, watch on YouTube. Use that. That people have been great about making that our sort of comments board for the episode. And obviously, just keep your ears open and check out the website for when Dictator for a Day is. Because I know now, if you were like indifferent before... You got to at least be curious, if not outright anticipating it. So anything else to talk? No.
I think that's it.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Rory. And I will see you next Thursday.